Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. I'm glad you're here. I knew coming into today's services that we're going to have several who are out of town, and I was hoping that we would have visitors to fill up the seats, and we do. So I appreciate you very much for being here today. This series that we've been doing in February, if you were here for the first lesson, I misspelled today's lesson, and then I spelled it properly, and I don't know how much that helped some of you. So today, we're going to explain what that acronym is there. As we talk about chains of our own choosing, anti-social media. So our lessons have been four of them, or we're headed toward number four, all dealing with the internet and cell phones and Facebook and Instagram and ChapSnat and whatever else you can think of to invent. You can't hardly chase them all down. I have learned as a parent that Venmo is very important. Apparently, that's a thing I need to have. If you don't have old enough kids to know what that is, you get ready. It'll be something different by then. But FOMO, now you have to be careful with acronyms and kids these days. But as far as I know, that's not a curse word of any kind. I know that there are some of you know what that is, some of you don't. It's an old thing. It's just been amplified. It's fear of missing out. And in studying for it, there's actually a clinical way to make this acronym where you make the O lowercase, which makes no sense to me. So it's F, little O, M-O. But fear of missing out. What does the internet do to us? The internet has changed a lot of things, and a lot of those things are not for the good, right? We talked last week about the problem of pornography. We talked about loneliness 2 weeks ago. We're going to talk next week. I'm kind of excited, but not excited about it. I feel the need to preach about it. But gambling is legal, and weed, if it's not legal here, it will be very soon. And those things are new. That's a new thing for our society to digest. So remember, we talked about in our first lesson the book entitled Future Shock, that how television and all the things of the 70s and international travel brought a kind of future shock to the world. Well, now the internet has done one phase of it. I really fear for the next phase where there's legal weed and gambling. So just get ready for that. We'll talk about it next week. Fear of missing out. This term is an actual clinical term. It includes, and this is from a Harvard PhD, Natalie Dottillo, and I hope I'm saying that right. She says, FOMO includes both the perception of missing out, which triggers anxiety, and compulsive behaviors like checking and refreshing sites to maintain social connections. So what does that mean? People get online and they see what other people are doing and they say, well, I want to do that. Or maybe they're afraid that they won't be able to talk in a conversation because they haven't been on social media in a while and they don't know what fashion is needed. Or maybe there's a meme they haven't caught up with. All of a sudden, they feel like they're in the out group. And that's where this should begin to, we all should understand this. We've all been to junior high. We called it in Arkansas, middle school it is over here. Man, middle school is a great time, isn't it? Middle school is just full of peace, and kids are so well-behaved, and their language is fantastic, exactly. We got so many teachers in here, they're probably going into a little bit of shock, me talking about that. No, middle school is that time where the kids learn all those words, and they feel brave enough to use them, and they don't behave, and they realize they can skip class and get in fights and all that kind of stuff. Well, that a lot of that has to do with being in a group. Nobody wants to be alone, right? We all want to be included in the group. Well, that's what fear of missing out in the internet has really amplified. Listen to this. According to the World Journal of Clinical Issues, the term fear of missing out started in 2004. And you see this on the screen behind me. There's a reason for that. The reason it became a clinical issue is because Facebook happened. Facebook happened. Prior to Facebook, for those of us, so some of you have been raised with Facebook, right? You're talking about 20 years from now. There are people in here that are that young. There are semi-adults in here that are not much older than that. So they've been dealing with it this whole time. For those of us who are a little older, it's something new. Dottillo says a few of the more serious problems stemming from FOMO relate to some of our biggest teenage fears. FOMO is a fear of being left out of a friend group. Now, this is where it gets real. You ever not made a team? You ever had a group of people who they were selected and you were not? Man, that is a driving fear, particularly not just for adults, but especially for kids of that middle age. No one wants to be outside. No one wants to not belong. There's a great old bumper sticker that used to say, "You nonconformists all look alike." And you know why that is? Because the people that were trying to be nonconformists, they wanted to belong to a group. And to belong to that group, they kind of had to wear the uniform. Not being invited to an event. Ooh. Missing out on a good deal, such as the sale at a store you like. This one is my favorite. Fear of showing up in bell bottoms the day that skinny jeans hit. Who wants to be the middle school person who comes in that way, right? Let's say everybody told you that they were going to have a party on Thursday and everybody was going to dress up as a clown. And you walked into class and realized they were lying to you. Well, that kind of sensation, that thing that happened in your pit of your stomach when I said that, that's what goes on social media all the time. One study focusing on adolescent girls referred to this as social hunger. And I think that's a great way to describe it. Social hunger. These different electronic media show people in ways that are not real. But they show, our brains can't relate to that. So our brain sees somebody that's doing something and we get jealous of it, or we are envious of it, or we're worried that we're not going to fit in, or we're not going to know the latest thing. And that drives people to use the internet in ways that are just not at all what they were intended to do. There's one other thing I want to point out to you, and I let it get by me here. The average person spends 147 minutes a day on social media. The average person spends 147 minutes a day on social media. How many of you think that's not enough? I think that's probably as kind as we can be about it. 2 hours, 20 minutes. How many people do you know that every time you see them, right, they're in this posture? In fact, people are even concerned about that changing over time. Is it people have a posture like that? 147 minutes a day. If I do anything for 147 minutes a day, it's going to change my life. Is social media guided by the Lord? Is social media guided by anybody that has your best interest at heart? No, they don't. I'll tell you, the only thing they have at heart is you clicking that site over and over and over again, and they don't care why you're doing it, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether it's ruining your life or not. They don't care. They want you to click so they can sell advertising. Two things that I'm going to mention here that are not really part of the sermon, but I couldn't deal with this subject without talking about it. Posting on social media also has this effect of getting likes. Getting likes. And getting likes can be addictive. Posting on social media and receiving positive feedback, I do have it on the screen, here we go, through comments, likes, and follows is highly rewarding to the brain. So we seek that again and again. How many people are out there doing things online that they would not be proud of otherwise because they want a click? You give me a click for one thing, I'll get more clicks for another. If I have to ramp it up a little bit, increase what's going on, then I'll do it. One other real quick mention, and I know I'm kind of throwing these two things in here on you at once. One of the key drivers, and I've talked about this in other sermons, for transgender or homosexual behavior, listen to me on this, one of the key drivers for transgender and homosexual behavior is this very thing. If you are a teenager and you feel out and you want to, and maybe you've experienced it posting something that got a lot of likes and a lot of retweets and a lot of comments that were positive, you want to get a ton of them, come out. Come out. You're a lonely middle school teenager who doesn't fit in. You want to fit in, you want to have a lot of praise, you want to have all of a sudden an army of people on your side, come out as transgender. This is a real thing. This instant support group, this instant praise will happen to a teenager. You take a teenager who's already afraid of all those things we talked about, and then you say, I'm going to give you a ticket to almost limitless encouragement, limitless support. Do they care what the final analysis is for that person? Do they care what happens when they've changed their genitalia and they turn 30 and they realize it was a mistake? No. But the likes and the rewards and the comments and those things are addictive. And not only are they addictive, they can make us feel left out if we see someone else get them and we do not. Okay. So does the Bible address FOMO? Yes. Now, not the acronym per se, but the principles behind it are as old as forever. Envy and jealousy. What we're really talking about here is what else someone else has. We envy it. We're jealous. We're covetous. The word envy in the New Testament 8 times. The word jealousy 12 times. Now, I've got a list of scriptures here, and I'm going to go briefly through them, but I want you to land on 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to sit there on that verse. But I just want to read to you, I'll do it quickly. I'm going to read these verses to you. I want you to listen to the company that jealousy keeps. Listen to the company that jealousy keeps, because not only is it instructive, but I think they also are causative. I think these things go together because they go together. Romans 13:13. Let us walk properly in the daytime, not in quarreling and jealousy. 1 Corinthians 3:3. You're still of the flesh. While there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? 1 Corinthians 4, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast. 2 Corinthians 12:20, for I fear that perhaps when I come I may find you not as I wish, that there you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. Galatians 5:20, lust of the flesh, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. James chapter 3, verse 14. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, do not boast and be false to the truth. James 3:16, 2 verses later. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. James 3:15, by the way, calls this behavior demonic. Demonic. It is always interesting to me when I read these lists of sins that when I read them, a lot of times we get the big ones, right? Drunkenness and adultery and those kind of things. Those are the ones that flash out to us, right? But I think it's easy for us to overlook the anger, the jealousy, the envy. Those don't seem to pop out at us. I think they should, because they're really the problem here. The real problem is we live in a world that amplifies sin. Right? We know that. If I were to say that to you, that's not news. But did you ever think that it's a world that amplifies jealousy, and jealousy is a sin? 13 times, 8 times for envy in the New Testament alone. The only time it's ever positive is when it talks about God being a jealous God. God is a jealous God. But jealousy and envy are not something that human beings can handle. I told you we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn over there if you don't mind. Jealousy is linked to strife, anger, hostility, and quarreling. FOMO makes us hate our neighbor and despise ourselves. Makes us hate our neighbor and despise ourselves. Look at this list of sins that jealousy keeps company with in this verse in 2 Corinthians 12 and 20. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may not find you as I wish. Now, what Paul is saying here, I'm not even coming to visit y'all because y'all haven't got it straightened out yet. Paul is writing 1 Corinthians and saying, y'all got a lot to deal with. I really don't want to. Who is there to make me glad if I'm having to get on to you people all the time? I want you to make me glad. I want you to be right. But I fear if I come, I won't find you that way. I'll find you in sin. What is that list of sins? Quarreling. Do you think of that? Is that when you think of sins of the flesh, is that one of the first ones that comes on your mind? Jealousy. Anger. Hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. That last 4 or 5 right there, if you want to describe what happens on social media, there you go. You think there's no gossip involved in social media? You think there's no quarreling, no jealousy, no hostility, no slander, no disorder? Let me tell you something. If this is going on online with you or with me, it's also going on in my real life. When I step away from that screen, if I'm jealous of David Busick online, when I get offline, I'm not now jealous of him. I'm still jealous of him. If I envy him, I envy him online. I envy him in real life, and that's why Paul says quarreling and strife exists where there's jealousy. because what I do online affects my heart and works over into the real world. So how do we deal with it? How do we manage it? First, realize that it's real. It's real. And it's something we have to address. Don't say, well, that's something that happens to other people. It happens to all of us to some extent. Yes, clearly there are going to be some of us that use it more than others. That's just like it with anything else. We all sin differently, right? There's one thing that's a temptation to me, may not be a temptation to you, and vice versa. So the first thing we have to realize is we are jealous of people. We envy people. And that's why we continue to click, so make sure that we don't miss out. Well, before we get to some of the solutions, I want to point out one thing that's very clear. This is a world of illusion. The girl who is doing the Facebook makeup tutorial does not look like that all the time. The shot that you see online is the best one they can come up with. They may even have lighting. They may have someone else shooting it. That is not real. The person that you see enjoying friends somewhere that you want to be or at a restaurant, that may sound great. Is that, now I'm not wishing anything on anybody, but is that the reality of all their life? No, it's not. They have hard times and disagreements and things don't always go the way they want. They don't always look like that in the morning. So, but the pressure that seeing those images, it makes people, particularly young girls, feel like that's the thing I have to be all the time. No. That's a whitewashed tomb. Now that may seem like too strong of an analogy, but I thought it was good because it helps us to remember that these problems are as old as Cain and Abel. If you think about it, Cain essentially killed Abel because he wasn't in the in group. Check out Matthew 23 if you don't mind. Jesus here is going to talk about the Pharisees and Sadducees and how they treated things in their life. What it means to whitewash a tomb is to say, this is a dirty thing I don't want you to see, so I'm going to live in a world of illusion, and I'm going to give you this glimmering image of something so you don't really see what's behind it. Now, that begin to sound like what's going on a lot of times? I'm putting forth an image that I want you to see because I don't want you to see the real me? Matthew 23:25, Jesus here, this is a whole chapter of woes. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may be clean also." Do you think that everybody you see on social media who puts that great picture up there, that that's their whole life? Well, what can happen is overwhelmingly as I click on things, remember 2 hours, 27 minutes a day, and I think that's low. Let's say 3 hours a day. So 3 hours a day, I'm pumping myself full of all these images that I see. There are guys out there running marathons in 15 minutes. How am I supposed to live up? I'm trying to see if Tightloff was awake back there. How am I supposed to live up to that? I can't live up to that. I can't wear those clothes. My makeup's never going to look that good. Guys, maybe that the bass boat that you see, maybe the new girlfriend that somebody has, maybe the new hairstyle they have, whatever it is, we all can look at those things and they can intimidate us into thinking that's real life for some people. Jesus is saying that's just cleaning the outside of the cup. Woe to you, verse 27, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Be aware of religion on the internet. Beware of religion on the internet. I speak as someone who's on the internet. Okay? I have a little video channel. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anyone. You read your Bible. Because you know what? I've never lost a podcast. Never. Undefeated. You know why? Because I'm the only one on there. No one's there to point out how I'm misusing Scripture. No one's out there to say how I'm ignoring this principle of God. It sounds great because I'm unopposed. A lot of the internet is that way. Don't get your religion from the internet. Don't get your religion from the internet. Get your religion from the Bible. And remember, that whitewashed tomb you see is probably not that way all the time. And don't let it intimidate you, because there's nothing there but carnality. Okay, so what can be done? The rest of our lesson, and I realize the time is short. Know God, thank God, love God. We'll talk about all these things. Be content. Do not covet. I guarantee you, if I were to ask somebody to list the Ten Commandments, the one that everybody would miss is that one. But I will tell you, in this world of jealousy and envy, coveting is a big deal. Limit your stimuli. We'll talk about that. Serve the body of Christ. Get out of your selfish self. Turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would. This idea of knowing God and thanking God, being spiritual. In fact, come back tonight, please, if you can. We're going to talk about spirituality and prayer. Spirituality and prayer. But Paul here talks about the idea of God and the fact that we should be able to know God and recognize God by His creation. And he talks about the fact that people have known God, but they've left God. Why did they do that? Why do people leave God? Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. How do people get so godless by following things on the internet? Well, first of all, they know God, but they forget God. They know God, but they don't thank God. Did you see that in the text? They knew God. So the idea that knew means in the past, as in they don't know God now. So why do they not know God now? Because when they did know God, they didn't thank God. Guess what? Are you appreciative of what God has given you today? Am I envious of something God has not given me? Am I not content with what He has? See the problem? How do I solve that? Thank God. Know God. Reach for God. Thank Him. Love God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we've loved God, but He loved us, and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If I want to continue to know God, I need to thank God, and I need to love God. And if you don't know why you should love God, let's talk about it. God loved us enough to send His Son to die on a cross, to shed pure blood that I might be forgiven. And no matter what the sin is in your life, the blood of Jesus Christ has enough power to cleanse it. That's the God that we should love. Be content. Be content. Have you ever heard someone talking about, there's a little poem out there about that the daughter be given enough? There's scripture for that in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7, let me get over there. Because the writer here is going to talk about the difference between rich and poor. And what he asked for here is just enough. He doesn't want riches, he wants enough. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7, read it with me. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You see what he's asking for here? He's not asking for wealth, because so many times the wealthy, Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a wealthy man to go to heaven. Do I want to wish that on myself? Do I want to wish hell on myself because of riches in this world? Brother Jim talked about in our contribution, lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. No, but in heaven, because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. God, give us enough. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, one of my favorite. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Man, remove lying from me. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world. We cannot take anything out. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Let me tell you something. If that's not true for you, you need to study. You need to get to know God. Because if I have enough to meet my needs, I need to praise God and thank God and be happy where I am. Because if I'm needing something else to make me happy, that's not going to bring contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. He doesn't just say contentment. He doesn't just say with some of my needs met. Godliness. Know God, love God, thank God. Get closer to God. Be more spiritually driven. There, with my needs met, I can be content. I and God are a majority. I and God can go to heaven. I and God are enough. The 10th commandment is, thou shalt not covet. Joshua chapter 7, this word is used of Achan. You remember the book of Joshua. Joshua is the leader who comes after Moses, and the people of Israel have to go across the Jordan River, and they do. He leads them there. And the first battle they come up there is Jericho. And we all know the story of the walls fall down flat, and the people of Israel are given this great victory by God. But do you remember the second city? The second city was a place called Ai, or Ai. And when the people of Israel come up to Ai, in fact, they have spies who go out and say, hey, look, man, we are so cool. We ran over those people in Jericho. Just send a few hundred, 3,000, just a small contingent of men. We can take the city. Well, they go waltzing up there, and they go in to take that city, and they're defeated. And they're wailing and gnashing of teeth. How could the people of God be defeated? Well, there was sin in the camp. Because the people of Israel had been told, the things in Jericho, you leave them alone or you dedicate them to God. They're not for you. The silver and the gold, those are for God. Well, a man named Achan, you may know the story, took some of those things. Why did he take it? Because he saw it on Instagram. He saw it on Facebook. Not really. But he saw something somebody else had, and it tempted him. It put evil in his heart. He uses the word covetous. Joshua 7, verse 20. Joshua 7, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua, truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. Notice it doesn't say took them. Oh, that's what he did. Well, which came first? The jealousy and the envy and the covetousness. See, they are hidden in the earth in my tent and the silver underneath. You know the rest of the story. Achan and his entire family were destroyed. Because of covetousness. Limit your environmental stimuli. Get off your phone. Put it down. Put it somewhere you can't get to it. Be intentional about that. I'm not saying you never look at your phone. Please don't misunderstand me. But less of it would be better. And our great example here is the Lord. We talked about this last week with the pornography issue. You can be given so much stimuli on a certain issue that you become dead to it. You can be given so much stimuli of other people that you don't really have real human emotions anymore. You can live in your online world so much that you can't interact with people. You don't care as much as you used to. Jesus had that same event. He had so many people clawing at him and so many things going on. Jesus knew sometimes you got to put it down. Matthew 14:23. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He had to get away. If Jesus, our Lord, needed to get away from stimuli, so do I. Luke chapter 5, verse 15, same thing. Now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him. So he's getting the likes and the retweets and the follows, man. They're after him. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Well, finally, we talked about knowing God, loving God, thanking God. Don't covet. Be content. We talked about all those things. The last thing I want to tell you is very similar to the solution for 2 weeks ago. Get outside. Get off your phone and get outside. Get off your phone and go to services. Get out of the house and go do something for someone else. Get out of my, get out of your selfish self. When I'm online, that's all about me, right? I may reach out in some way online, but the majority of the time, I'm sitting right here and it's all about me. What do I want to see? What do I want to do? What do I want to click on? It's my little world I'm developing. That can be a dangerous place. We have several young couples. Babysit for them one night. Befriend one of our older members. Write a card. Make a phone call. Go visit someone. Volunteer for a charity. Don't put it on social media. Volunteer for a charity. Thou shalt not put it on social media. Jesus said it himself, Matthew 6:1-4. Go for a walk. Go for a walk. Now, I must admit to you, when I walk, I listen to sermons and things. So I know that walking can also be a way to use social media. But get out of the house. If I'm spending 2 hours and 27 minutes doing anything every day, that's too much. If I'm doing something for 3 hours a day, I need to break it up. I need to get out of the house and walk. Get out of the house and serve someone else. When I'm serving someone else, you know what I'm not thinking about? Me and my problems and my envy. One of the psychiatrists that I was reading on this talked about the fact about be purposeful in your actions. I don't agree with this 100%, but they said do things you'll be proud of. Does that make sense? Instead of worrying about, oh, someone's better than me, right? They're on Facebook or they're on Instagram or whatever it is. Oh, they're doing something better than me. She said, you go do something you'll be proud of. Don't put it on social media. Serve someone. Romans chapter 12. We're going to have a little bit of Romans chapter 12 tonight as well. But Romans chapter 12 is one of the best places in the Bible for talking about the church and talking about our lives. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Because what I want you to know he's saying is get out of the house and serve someone. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. I want you to know this is solving all the problems. If I love you, I won't covet. Let me say that again. If I love you, I won't covet. Right? If Ryan gets something that's new, Ryan gets a new bass boat. I'm not going to covet that. I love Ryan. Good for Ryan. Don't covet. Be happy for someone else. Don't envy. Be happy. Let love be genuine. It's almost like it says the same thing. Abhor what is evil. Hold to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. You can't give brotherly affection when you're online. Brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Later in this same chapter, he talks about this, about do not be too haughty to associate with the lowly. Get out there and do something for somebody else. Serve your fellow Christian. Have them over to the house. Not your fake online house. Your real house. And really talk to them, and really show brotherly affection, and really get to know them, and really love them. Know God, thank God, love God. Be content, don't covet, get out of your selfish self. Limit your stimuli, put it down. You might think, well, that's awful simple, preacher man. I didn't say it wasn't. But simple doesn't mean it actually happens, does it, all the time? Let's try to do better. Let's try to love each other more. Let's try to make sure that we are a body of Christ, vibrant in our brotherly love for one another. I'm glad you're here this morning. Thank you for taking time away from your 3 hours of social media a day to be here. We'll be back at 5 o'clock. Also, if you're looking for another reason, put your phone down for a while. We've not talked too much about salvation, but I will tell you this. God loves you, and He wants you to go and live in heaven with Him. And if you want to get into the house, you better know the Son. If you know the Son, you better be nice to the Son. Because I tell you what's going to happen at the judgment day. God is going to ask you one simple question. I gave you my Son. What did you do with him? I gave him a kingdom. Is he your Lord? You better know how to answer that question. Because if you don't answer the question correctly, you ain't getting in the house. And if you're not in the house, you're outside. Go look in the book of Revelation, who's outside. If we can help you as you want to become a Christian, either in putting your faith in Jesus Christ and being baptized into him or repenting and coming to follow them, follow God as you should, please come forward as we stand and we sing.